Great to see you.
Thank you, Anthony.
Fitting well. I know you've had a few issues over the summer.
Oh, a few postseason.
Tell us about your summer, Robbo.
It was wasn't one of my great ones, but that's okay. The footy's back. It was really exciting. I wrote this morning how great it is to walk through the parklands, the MCG. And it was, again, and everyone's just piling in.
Well, how good was the sun Melbourne. Just came out all of a sudden over the last couple of hours? It was beautiful walking in.
And we've had some, this week in particular, we've had some pretty sordid and difficult stories breaking all around town. And the AFL have got a real problem on their hands. But footy is able to push those problems off the front and back page for a lot of the year.
So the problems, do you think AFL think they have a drug problem?
I think the AFL might realise that their drug policy, and we'll talk to Maxie about that in a second, because he'll know more about that than us, but the drug policies...
It's outdated.
Yeah, Gil McLachlan, the AFL chief executive, he hinted very strongly that there will be changes. It's been an extraordinary week. We've got the Collingwood situation, which, again, Maxie can talk about. What we know is... They've tested positive A and B. There's rumours a day after that the two more AFL players had tested positive. So that sent the Melbourne media into a spin. And I woke up this morning with a phone call saying there's another rumour going about, which the media were chasing. I spoke to Gillon McLachlan about that about midday today, and it's not true. So we've got this situation at the moment where there's a frenzy, and it's not good for football because rumours become fact. And you know, everyone had heard about these rumours, and it's just not good for football.
No, it's not. Well, while we're on it, then, and I do want to ask about what's going to change on the field. What's the main thing going to change in season 2015, or is it going to be more of Hawthorn and the rest chasing and trying to change game styles? But you brought up the topic, and so let's address them quickly. Nick, just from a personal point of view, first of all, we've heard the rumours, or not the rumours, we've heard the voices out of Collingwood, and I've had a small amount to do with the two young fellas, and I can only echo what I know about them. I'm shocked with the news. You know them extremely well. First of all, were your own emotions when you heard about it?
I didn't believe it at the start, and then after that, I was just shocked that, I guess, those two guys would find themselves in that situation. And I think probably the more that you think about it, and in reality, right now they're looking at 2 to 4 years and potentially career over. You go back a week, you've got two young guys who are battling and expecting to play. Well, probably, I think Keefe had a hammy, but Josh Thomas would have been lining up on Saturday. And a young guy who's played 30-odd games and was just starting to hit his peak. And we're sort of in this situation we find ourselves in right now. So I'm gutted for them. I'm shocked. And at the same time, I guess wanting answers like everyone else.
Is it, and now, you know, we obviously don't know all the details, but there's now this theory that it's possible that performance-enhancing drugs, such as clenbuterol, can be taken as part of a recreation, for want of a better term, or illicit drug. So have you heard of this? Are you aware that this goes on? Is this something that's new out there? And I suppose, is it too much... This is the question of people of our generation, don't understand necessarily all these issues. Is it too much to ask of the players these days to not take these recreational or illicit drugs if they're going to be elite footballers?
Well, you're asking the wrong person for a start, because I'm probably the same as you, mate. I've learned a lot over the last week or so from all the rumours and people talking about it.
The simple answer is yes. Yes, they've got it. I mean, Ross Lyon has got this quite infamous saying, sacrifice one to teach 1,000. Unfortunately for these two young men, they're going to be sacrificed.
They're
put themselves up to be sacrificed. And if the AFL needed a message to get through to the players, this is it.
But you've got to be careful as well, because right now we're not going on fact. We haven't heard it from
No, we know that. I know that. But clenbuterol.
Yes.
Right. Again, the message to get through to the other 700 players is absolutely check what's going into your body. Because you... I don't know how you do it. I mean, you must be able to trust restaurants and going out. You must be able to trust what you buy to eat and what you buy to drink.
Well, the trust changed for players after what happened with Essendon, because the players felt like they were trusting the right people. They had signed documents. They felt like they were doing nothing wrong, and they were getting things given to them that were going to make them better footballers. So that's where the trust changed. And as of last year, and it was, I'm not sure exactly when it happened because I retired July, but players, I'm not sure if it's every day or every week, they have to enter what they've had in terms of supplements, nutrition, all that thing. They've got to enter into an app for the AFL.
What you've eaten every meal?
No, in terms of supplements, in terms of painkillers, like Panadol.
That was introduced last year.
Past July because I missed it.
Yeah, it was introduced when the AFL, after the Essendon situation, Essendon debacle, said, right, it's part of the overhaul and the review of the club supplement, strategies.
Everything has to be documented
and given to the AFL.
I couldn't take vitamin C.
Why
because not? Cause the AFL came back and said, no, everything has to be tested. Every bottle, every case that comes in has to be tested to make sure that it's guaranteed that it's not going in. So we were told, don't go into a supermarket and buy vitamin C off the shelf.
So don't go in and buy a bottle of orange juice with vitamin C in it.
Orange juice different? A vitamin C
tablet?
The
actual tablets.
The tablets. Yeah.
Don't go and buy anything off the shelf because we don't know. We can't guarantee 100% because we haven't tested
it. So what happens if you decide to go out for dinner? You and your wife, Swanee and his wife or girlfriend and six others, and you go to a restaurant. Is there anything you have to be careful about when you're at this restaurant?
Well, I'll give you an example. Probably about 4 years ago, we had Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So similar to tonight, but players are the whole weekend off, so it was out of season. And I went down to Williamsham with my wife. We had dinner. I had a glass of red with shared a white while we're having dinner. And there was a phone call came to the club on the Monday morning that I was out drunk in Williamsham on Thursday night. I drove home, I had one glass. So those things go on. But in the end, if there's things that are going to put your career in jeopardy, you make a decision whether you take that risk or what means more to you,
but clearly
football
play,
or not.
But clearly players take that risk. Because at the end of every year when they bring out the drug results, there are amphetamine results. I think it was one person this year, remind me, one person with two strikes. I might be wrong there, but I think it was one person with two strikes on amphetamines. So clearly there's players in the system saying, okay, we'll take this risk. I mean, everyone takes risks in life. Why don't players?
Well, I think the reason behind that now is the three-strike policy.
I think that will change.
That has to change.
I don't think there's any doubt that
I'm with Max on that. That is the biggest reason why players take risks. They know they've got three strikes.
Were you playing when the three strikes was introduced?
Yes.
Now, when it was introduced, I think Brendan Goddard spoke about it during the week. He said when it was introduced, the idealism behind it was really strong. And the information from the medicals was really strong.
It was the right idea at the time, Robert. I totally agreed with it at the time.
But as much as life changes and footy has changed since when it was introduced,
it is now outdated.
It has now got to be reviewed, and I think it's a major,
The AFL realised there was players out there taking illicit drugs, and they thought, we don't want players to be suspended if it's a one-off or accident or whatever it may be. They thought the penalty was too hard, so they brought in the three-strikes policy, which I agreed with. And it was all based on, I think, listening to Patrick Smith during the week, marijuana. The tests were really up. They thought, we don't want to see players get two years on the basis of marijuana. So they brought in the three-strike policy. Now, over that time, the drug landscape has changed dramatically.
No doubt.
It is now time that they need to revamp it, have a look at it, because to give a guy three strikes who might be on ice, for example, he could be dead.
Collingwood, I want to go bring that to Collingwood. You make a really important point there, Moons. The week before the Essendon supplement saga broke, right, which was the Tuesday morning, February 5th, the week before was the first day I got back on hot from holidays, and I wrote a story that between 4 and 7 Collingwood players had self-reported to the AFL late the previous year about the use of illicit drugs because the self-reporting procedure was open. And it was quite coincidental, Gary Peart in November said he's really concerned about the volcanic behaviour of players in the off-season. In January, we broke the story that, say, 5, 6 Collingwood players had gone, not en masse, driving the same car, had all self-reported to the AFL for illicit drug use, and that was no strike. I said, that's ridiculous.
Yes.
So the AFL then closed up and redefined one strike over your career, I think. I think it went from one a year to once over your career. So, but that story got hijacked. The illicit drug story got hijacked by the Essendon supplement drug saga. And that's all everyone wrote.
Yeah.
Everyone wrote that for 2.5 years. That's what everyone spoke about. If that story didn't break, the illicit drugs situation would have been front and square after the Collingwood situation.
But again, we're the wrong four people to talk about illicit drugs in the community right now. There'll be people out there who are a lot better educated than what we are and who are out there every weekend and know what it's like. And we know, or I hear of people who it's every weekend and it's 4 in 5 people who are aged
they're the numbers
18
that
to 30.
They're the numbers
so that
I
gets
you.
Back to my question at the start. Is it too much to ask these young players to not do this, or is it just that's a sacrifice they have to make?
It's a big question, Hutto. It's a great question.
To play AFL footy.
All right, what's the alternative?
No, well, exactly.
The alternative for those players is go and play local footy,
yep.
Get your 20 or 30 grand
so
instead of your
up.
600 to 800 grand.
Yep.
You've got a choice.
Yep.
No one's forcing you to come out here and play in front of 80,000 people and get paid $500,000.
Do you believe
can't have your cake and eat it too.
Correct.
The end of
the day. You've got to make choices. It's exactly the same as what you eat. You got nutritionists say you got to eat this, you got to eat that. You don't have to do it. You can make a choice and not do it, but they're the rules that are set in front of you.
So do you think that the AFL players, it's one strike, one go, and you're gone?
No, I think it's two, because if one person, let's not say that people have never had their drink spiked.
Is that really? How often does that happen?
Exactly. How often? But for the fact that one person, let's pick the cleanest skin out there who's playing at the moment. Let's pick
Trent Cotchin
or a Nick Riewoldt or someone like that as a champion of the game. The one time that it happened and it was one of them, and you know they've never ever touched it before that time.
No, you're right. You're
then
right,
I man. Wouldn't want their whole career to be no, gone, and we lose right. a champion of the game
yeah,
for that.
And that, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to suspend them for 3 years either, do we?
But
I
it's
mean,
not up to us.
Well, it does.
No,
well, if you're going under the wider rules.
No, if it's performance enhancing. But
that's
we don't,
different.
We don't
that's,
have
yeah.
to necessarily say it goes right across to that level of
I think now with the education that's come in since 2005, I think it was when they brought the three strikes in, the education now that players get, that's where I'm believing now the three strikes have to go. Because back then, we didn't get the education that they get now. So you could probably bring in the three strikes because they were young and dumb, whatever.
But that means
but
marijuana.
Now,
the marijuana's under that.
Yeah, but now you're talking about the education the players get year in and year out, Nick, is huge, isn't it?
Yep.
So it's inexcusable now to have
a
three strike.
But I cannot accept that just because they're AFL players, they don't have stresses like every other human being, perhaps more.
Yeah, but that's what we're saying. Yeah. Don't give them one strike and you're out.
Yeah, no, perhaps more than everyone else. I'm not saying that, they're AFL footballers, let's feel sorry for them.
No.
But there is a tremendous amount of scrutiny on these young men.
Correct.
And I can feel that some of them sometimes would want to escape and all that. All these sort of reasons that people take recreational or illicit drugs.
But that's where you go one strike. So first time it happens, you go, you see the medicos, you see Harry, and you go through it all.
And the club
the doctors. Whoever knows, they go through it all together and sit down and go, righto, is this a problem or was this a spike? And that's when you decide. And you know what? You can, the club and the doctors of the AFL, they might choose to sit them out for 6 weeks. No, he's done his hammy, so we're going to sit him out. Let's get this right. If there is an issue, we'll fix this issue.
They have got that capability right now, the AFL medical department, because I think that was revealed last year that they can say they can stand players down for a period of time, so no, you're not in a fit state to play AFL football. Can I ask you a question? Do you know if any player had been stood down like that?
I don't.
Okay. Moons?
No, I don't.
Robert, Hutto, I'm
no,
not going to
no,
leave you out.
No, well, I don't. But can I just get
ask
you...
Ask me. No.
I'm glad you made me ask it. Robbo's here for Budget Car and Truck Rental, by the way. For the best rental deals, go to budget.com.au. It's our match preview for Cromagin, Melbourne's number one solar hot water supplier to the building trade. Shortly we'll take some calls and we'll get into the teams for round one, but just we want to come to on-field matters. But Essendon, Robbo, how do you see this going from here in terms of how it's going to affect the club and on-field and that sort of thing? Do you think they'll just be this huge release and relief and they'll go out there and play their best footy against Sydney, or do you think it'll take a while for normality to... And the fact that they haven't had a proper pre-season.
It's been an incredible 36 hours, and the players arrived at the club today together for the first time. And I spoke to someone this afternoon. It was as though there's not a blanket, a doona had been lifted off the entire Tullamarine site, and it was, the blinds are up, the sun's in, and they had this incredible, it's not a high, relief, release, anything you want to call it. Now, whether that can motivate them enough for this weekend, who knows? A lot of players haven't played any pre-seasons. Will that have an effect? Who knows? But right now, my belief is this is over. And when something's over...
So you don't think there'll be an appeal?
Well, smarter minds and more aware minds than me in this situation have told me they won't be appealing.
No, it doesn't appear.
Robbo, have you seen the report?
No. Oh, I saw it en masse. And Jared Waitley had it on the desk at 360. The AFL Players Association have come out today, or just before I left home, and sort of not pleaded, but just reminded the media that the players believe this to be a private and confidential document, so please not source it, whereas every media person is trying to source it and tell everyone what was in it, because the AFL's trying to do the same, because all the millions and millions of people who have been out there all these last two and a half years saying, give us answers. Give us answers. We've been reading this tripe on and off for 2.5 years. Let us get some answers, but it's up to the players.
Do you think with what you know and what you've read or what you've heard, we're Essendon lucky?
Lucky. We had a round table meeting at the Herald Sun. When did it happen? Tuesday. We had a round table on Wednesday, and we've gone through a lot of scenarios. Did we believe that Olave, the compound pharmacist, and Shane Charter, if their evidence was admissible, would that have tipped Essendon over into a guilty situation? The answer's no. The answer's no, because there's still no evidence. There's still no evidence that substance, TB4, was at Essendon and injected into those arms.
In fact, they didn't even get to that.
They didn't
part,
even get
did
to that, did they?
Yeah.
They
didn't get to it.
I'm going to take a break, and we move to on-field matters after this. Nick, how do you think the players will play on Saturday, if you're a player in that situation?
I think if they were going up against anyone apart from probably Sydney, Port and Hawthorn, that they'd be a really good chance. I think they'll put up a great show. But I think the lack of match practice is what will get them in the end.
Have we got the squad in yet?
Oh, we're about to.
But if you're playing Sydney, right, if you're Collingwood, and this, you just put up with this for 2 years, and you're playing Sydney, and you're going to Sydney, you say, righto, everyone, gather the wagons, we're going interstate.
Oh, you'd be that up and
we're
about.
We're going interstate, and no one else is around, no media,
and
no...
And they've done it the last 2 years as well.
And they've got one game plan. They need a lot of game plans, they've got one game plan. You know how Sydney got beaten last year? Hawthorn belted the crap out of them in the middle of the ground. And how did Sydney lose the year before against Fremantle? Fremantle's midfield belted them and just hit them with everything they got. Simply, who knows how they're going to react? But if you're James Hurd, you're just going to say to him, you know how important it is that our midfielders hit them with everything we've got, and let's see it unfold from there.
The problem with that, Rob, and I reckon you're going to say this as well, Nick, without any match practice, you could go in there and hit them for the first quarter, so then you're going to be stuffed after that.
That's what I mean. It's going to.
So it'll be great start of the game, no question. Yeah. But I think they'll fall away.
Spot on. Spot on. You can be the fittest you've ever been in your whole career out there running pre-season, doing pre-season. As soon as you start games, you're blown in 5 minutes because it's such a different fitness.
So you're telling me if you haven't played any pre-season games,
one or two players could get away with it, but if you've got half a side that haven't played a game yet,
it's been like our pre-match, Robert. You've started strongly. Let's see if you can keep it going.